Well, g'day legends, it's Jeff Ross here, your host for the Laptop Lifestyle Dad Show, coming to you from the beautiful island of Tasmania, Australia. Proud father of three energetic boys, I'm a faith-driven entrepreneur and I'm on a mission to help frustrated online marketers master AI, attraction marketing and social selling to create a life of purpose, freedom and impact. Hey, this podcast is all about building a business that works for you, not the other way around. And today's episode is going to take it deep into the heart of what truly matters. You know, today's conversation is going to be a little bit different and incredibly powerful. You know, our guest here sitting with me today is Jonathan Mast, founder of Whitebeard Strategies, an AI strategist, a faith-driven entrepreneur, and a kind of guy who just doesn't talk about values, but he walks them out too. He's someone who's exploring AI and faith and how they intersect. Not from a hype point of view, but with deep wisdom, caution, and purpose. We're diving into the question around, can AI actually strengthen your faith? And if so, how do we use it without compromising our truth, our integrity, and our calling? So Jonathan, it's absolutely awesome to have you here today. Thank you very much for saying yes to jumping onto this interview for the Laptop Lifestyle Dad Show. Mate, I'd love to just dive straight in. And talk about, you know, the journey before faith, before tech, really. So I love to lead with your values. You know, how has your faith shaped the way you approach life and business and even AI? And what filters do you put in place before teaching or using AI in this space?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing to me when it comes to AI and faith is understanding that we're not ceding control over to AI. We're not asking AI to be our pastor or to be our theologian. We're asking it to be a tool, much like I might have a Bible commentary or a Bible dictionary or things like that that I'm reading. A good example for me is, you know, Jeff, yesterday I'm sitting in church and we're talking about various biblical passages in the New Testament. It happened to be yesterday what we were talking about. And, you know, as a typical church sermon goes, there was a key passage where we read the whole passage, but then there were a number of verses that were brought in as well. And I'm a context guy. I love to understand context. And I used AI to help me understand what was going on as Paul was writing this letter. What was the situation politically? Yesterday, we specifically talked about tax collectors because it wasn't so much about Paul. It was about when Jesus was there and why were tax collectors so reviled? Very different than tax collectors today. And so I wanted to learn about that. I didn't necessarily learn about it during the service, but I did afterwards then take the notes I had and go in and use AI to research what was happening in Roman times. Why were these tax collectors so reviled? And why was it so significant that Jesus associated with them based on the Jewish culture at that point in time? Because to me, those are things that helped me get better grasp and feel for what's going on overall in the system. So again, I'm not asking it to tell me what my belief should be. I need discernment as a human. But you know what? I need discernment if I'm using a commentary or if I'm reading a book I bought at the bookstore or anything else as well.
Yeah, no, valid point. And just as the thought that came to mind as you're explaining your point and your stand, and I'm very much on alignment with that. It's AI plus our heart really is where the superpower lies. And it's a tool, it's a partnership. But I'm also, the thought that came to mind is, I didn't have this experience growing up. This is a story from my wife, you know, growing up in Catholic scenario, you know, Sunday school and all of that sort of thing. And she used to, you know, ask questions. And sometimes those questions would be, you know, prickly type questions, you know. You know, no, you can't answer those type questions. Ask those type questions because otherwise it's going to go and make the Sunday school teacher look a little bit silly because they don't have the answers. But I love that now AI, like we essentially, it could be positioned as a Sunday school teacher in this scenario, but you know, not 100% correct all the time because AI is, it's aimed to please us. It always aimed to be right. But it, with our discernment and our own research and, you know, like a bit like a GPS on a car, we could ask AI those type of questions now that, you know, you're not going to get scolded for asking the question.
Right.
types of things.
Well,
right?
And in my mind, it's not about being the Sunday school teacher. It's about being that tool that the Sunday school teacher uses to provide context, to provide value. It's about allowing me to more fully understand and comprehend. Now, I also use it for more than that. You know me, we were just talking pre-show. I am severe ADHD to the max. I'm that visionary entrepreneur, blah, blah, blah. I love prayer. And I believe one of the gifts God has given me is prayer. But one of the things I also struggle with prayer is being able to focus on it enough that my mind doesn't go elsewhere in the middle of a prayer.
Yeah, just
a reality for me. And people go, oh, Jonathan, that's terrible. Well, no, that's just how God made my mind. So one of the things I do regularly is I write out my prayers, because when I read them aloud, and I literally will do that, even if it's a whisper, if there's people around, I'll read it aloud. It allows my brain to focus on what I'm praying about. And I use AI to help me write prayers based on things. And that's the one that's gotten me the scolding on Facebook, where literally I've had fellow believers who I know are well-minded are telling me that I am going straight to hell because I used AI to write a prayer. Well, I guess we'll see. Well, I'm really comfortable. I'm not. But, you know, again, that's where discernment's relevant, because it's not coming back and creating a prayer that's not accurate. I've trained it on the Lord's Prayer, on the way that Christ taught us to pray, and things like that throughout the Bible. And now it follows that methodology when it creates prayers for me. Sometimes it even follows it a little bit too much. And I'm like, okay, you didn't have to get in the thanks for our daily bread in there. You know what I mean? We could work around that. But yeah, that's again where discernment becomes so important to me, Jeff. We don't accept it at face value. If somebody brought me a book that was written about faith, I've read books before that I didn't agree with everything.
Yes,
that didn't mean the entire book was invalid. Sometimes it did, but many times it just meant that the author and I disagreed on a particular issue. Rarely were those salvation issues; those were often preferences in the way in which we practice our faith. And I've always kind of looked at those practices much like radio stations. You know, when I go listen, and that's a bad analogy, you're probably not old enough to remember when we actually had radio stations.
Yeah. But I remember we had radio.
Some of the audience may not be, you know, and there's different radio stations because we have different preferences. You know, my mother-in-law goes to a church that is very liturgical and very, you know, they only sing hymns and they only read out of the King James Version. And that's, you know what? That's fine. I don't go to that church, not because I believe that that's heretical or wrong, but it's not the way that I choose to worship. I prefer some drums and some guitars, and I want to start dancing. And when I feel that worship and the Holy Spirit's presence, now that admittedly makes my mother-in-law uncomfortable. Yeah. That's not a spiritual discussion. That's a preferential way in which we choose to worship. And I don't think it matters, but that's again, that's what all starts to fill in as we start getting into these discussions. Well,
let's get into this. So I think this is a bit of a touchy subject. So I'm going to give it respect that it's due. And please, like, if you're listening to this and you feel offended by this discussion and whatnot, well, then I'm going to ask you to go pray into it and use that keyword discernment here. And so I'm going to put that little disclaimer in here for a second, but I'm going to call it out a little bit too, because like what you're talking about there is preferences. Like I was an atheist 10 years ago and, you know, I tried everything the world had to offer, got to a point where I actually got to a very dark, depressed point, and I tried to kill myself. You know, a couple of days later after that, I opened up to a friend at the time. I knew that she was a Christian, but I didn't know, like, you know, how you know, much faith that she actually had. I just knew that she was a Christian.
Sure.
Anyway, she was a safe person. So I opened up to her at that time and just said, look, this is what's going on. And I just broke down, you know, and through that, you know, like Jesus met people all the time, right? She met me where I was at and just saw the real me, not the hurting me. And that type of thing, and just felt me feel seen, heard, and understood, and ultimately, for the first time in my life, felt loved. And that sort of then led me to the journey of going, okay, right, who is this Jesus fella? And really wanted to explore that. And so I came into relationship with Christ, and now fast forward 10 years into this journey, my wife and I started an online church last year. And
I know, you've been sharing that with me. I love that.
Thank you. So it's called Today's Discipleship Community. So essentially positioned myself here as an online pastor. Now, I haven't gone to Bible school or, theological study. Mm-hmm. I have done some pretty deep work in this space with my pastors at our church. So I'm not jumping in this to, totally naive and leading people astray. So I've got support and leadership around me. But because I've been doing things a little bit unique and we started the online church and, all of that, right out there, right? But all it is just a different expression of church. We're not trying to replace traditional church. We're not trying to say what you're doing is wrong. But yet, it's funny, all the judgment and the condemnation that we've been getting has come from inside the big C, right? The global church.
Yeah.
And essentially what I call the holy rollers, the real religious type, that type of thing. Like, we did an online baptism last November and we had people saying, oh, you can't do that. That's not the way it's going to be done, blah, blah, blah. But when we come into it, there's nothing in the Bible saying that you can't have an online church. There's nothing in the Bible saying that how you actually do an online, a baptism per se. And there's certain things around there, and there's nothing in the Bible saying that we can't use tools and technology to help us to get deeper understanding and discernment. So, like, Bible has been my resource and my tool here into, figure out discernment as well. And then that's that spiritual heart thing between me and God in that space as well. The word you said there is different preferences and the way that we practice our faith. And I think that's a big thing to really highlight. You look back over the centuries, over a millennia, wars have been fought over this thing.
Absolutely. People
get really triggered. But it's not just a contentious topic for right now. It's a contentious topic throughout the entire history, right from day one. And I think if we could just, for me, my hope and my prayer is to help us to work out how we can come into unity, work out how we can come into reconciliation, work out how we can come into a space of love, not be divided, because I think that's the job of the devil, right? The job of the devil is to still kill, destroy, and divide us, because he knows that he can control us in that space. But if we come into this space and just have conversations that meet each other in the middle and just have that space for unity and reconciliation and love, isn't that what the Great Commission's all about?
I believe so, absolutely. I mean, we were to go, what is the greatest commandment? To love one another as you love yourself, if I remember that properly. And I'm not a theologian, so I may mess up a Bible verse. I'm not claiming to be one. And then, as you said in the Great Commission, we're supposed to share God's word, God's love, his offer of salvation. There was a song out many years ago, and I think I often remind some of my naysayers about this. And when I say naysayers, it's the fellow believers who are like, Jonathan, you can't go there. That's just... There was a song, and I don't remember the name of it, but it talked about, would Jesus be welcome in your church? And it talked about, imagine a man walking in barefoot, dressed in probably some not perfectly clean robes.
He was homeless.
Would that Jesus be welcome in your church? And I remember that song really hit me, because that Jesus would not have been welcome in the church I grew up in. Now, I'm not condemning that church, but that person would not have been welcome. Just recently in my church, we had a conversation about, what about if you knew a friend that had literally went out on Saturday night and gotten drunk past, you name it, and on Sunday morning reached out to you and said, I need help, and still smelled like the bar and probably a few other things that weren't so good. Would you take that person, that friend, to church and sit next to them? And, to me, that was a great question, because even myself, I had to go, well, I honestly don't know I would, but I should, because Christ's love will reach them wherever they're at. As just as you talked about, you were at one of the lowest points in your life, it sounds like, when you were at that spot where you would allow the Holy Spirit to impact you. And, Christ hung out with lots of people that weren't very popular in his time here on earth, like the tax players or tax collectors and others like that. And I just believe that we aren't called to preach to the saved. While we certainly need to have discussions, just like we're having here, I know we're going to have a lot of believers listening in, and I do believe the discussion's important, but we're called to reach the lost. Yesterday in church, my pastor talked about how we, that we're, all heaven rejoices over that new believer more than the 99, the one sheep versus the 99. And I think we've spent too little time focusing on it. We spend too much time focusing on, well, you know, should we be? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you. That's
club.
Yeah, we treat it more like a club.
Us versus them club. It is. It's a club.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I see AI, because I'm a huge believer in it, I do believe it's a tool. I believe that it is not evil nor good. I don't think that AI is holy. I don't think it's unholy. I think it's a tool. And, you know, kind of like written text on pages. I mean, before the printing press, there were, you know, scribes that were transcribing, and then we got the printing press, and there were lots of people worried then that that was going to ruin religion because all of a sudden we'd be able to mass disseminate, you know, text. That didn't happen, thankfully. And I have more trust, I think, in human beings than most. But
AI well, just is like a tool. Yeah, it is. And just like a gun, you put a gun in a soldier's hand, he can go and defend the country with it all. But with a gun, you know, in a murderer's hand, he's going to do some pretty evil things with it. And so AI, I don't know if it has as much power as a gun. I think it has even more power. It is one of the most, you know, technological advancements of human history, but yeah, it is just a tool. Now here, I want to get into the ethical question of this, the ethics side of it, because I've seen AI used in a really powerful way for both good and evil. And, I want to talk about the extremes here for a second. Now I saw the other day, about probably 3 months ago, I can't remember the pastor's name, and probably best if I don't actually mention it anyway.
Fair enough.
You know, the celebrity pastor. But what he'd actually done with AI, he's got all his sermons and everything like that for the last 30 years. They've uploaded it to AI and through transcribe notes and all that sort of thing, and essentially created this online pastor version where people can go to this pastor through his AI, you know, custom AI, and ask people for, you know, and ask that pastor to pray for him, pray for those people. So basically a complete replacement of this pastor. Now, I don't know. This is where I start to think that we've gone too far with it. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Without knowing the specific situation, it's hard to tell. You know, I know a gentleman who wrote a prayer AI tool that allows people, when they need prayer, to go to the AI tool and the AI will write them a prayer that they can use.
Yeah,
and
I've seen those tools. Yeah, that's cool.
And I don't have a problem with that. I am willing. Now, is there risk? Of course there's risk. And I think now we get out of AI and really start talking about relationships and setting expectations. To replace a pastor with AI, no, I don't think that's a good idea. But yet I also think, are there things that a pastor does? So for example, basic counseling. Let's say that I've lost a loved one and I need to go through some grief counseling. The reality is I don't know any pastor out there that has more time than they do tasks. And unfortunately, that I know causes burnout amongst pastors. It causes family issues with pastors and
lots of,
we don't like to talk about those things because it's uncomfortable, but it's a reality. Well, if we could use AI to help with offload some of that, let's say again, I need to deal with grief. Instead of waiting until I can talk to my pastor, I should still talk to my pastor about that. But what about if there's an AI tool that's been trained on biblical ways to deal with grief that I could have access to that could help me walk through that process, not just at 2 p.m. when my pastor's available, but at 2 a.m. when I can't sleep and I'm crying.
Yep. Yep.
To me, that's using the tool in a right way. And again, I know there's some fine lines there, so I don't mean to skirt the question, but without seeing it, it's kind of hard to say. But I absolutely don't believe AI replaces actually any of this. I think AI amplifies our skill and experience, and therefore it should allow pastoral teams to be able to do some things more efficiently, but it by no means takes them away from that.
Yeah, well, I think the key word there is it's amplification versus replacement.
Yeah,
and,
agreed.
And I think that's where it's if it's all about supporting what you're doing and still keeping the human in the loop and looking to amplify and, you know, get rid of bottlenecks, but there also be a support there for 2 a.m. in the morning just to get through those few hours and then go connect with the pastor and the human in the loop. I think that's a brilliant tool. But it's when people start looking for ways to escape their responsibilities, and I think
that's with anything in life.
Yeah,
you know
exactly right.
The other thing I hear a lot, and you didn't mention it, I hope you don't mind me going there, but people talk all the time, but the tool's also used for bad. And I want to look at every tool that's out there. You know, I'm a huge photography nut. I love taking photos and I love my camera. Now it's mainly my iPhone, but I love that. But we could just as easily say, because the porn industry has used the camera to share pornography, that the camera is evil. But the camera's not evil. The photography's not evil, because I can also take
behind it.
Thank you. And it's the user. And so, yes, AI is probably used for some things it shouldn't be used. So is video, so is photos, so is the internet. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I watched just yesterday, where we moved, as you know, to Alabama recently in the United States. And so we have a church we go to down here, but I still like staying in touch with the church that we used to go to. And I watched that sermon via video. Not having access to that sermon because we decided not to use video or not to use the internet would not have done anything positive, but watching it was. And so, again, there's many people go, oh, but it's been used for bad things. You know what? Many things have. You know, there are people that use cars as suicide bombers. It doesn't mean we stop driving them. You know, it's that intent, that person behind it.
Exactly. Yeah. Look, you know, and as I said, I started an online church there 12 months ago, and I'll freely admit, like, I read the Bible. Well, I attempt to read the Bible. I'm not perfect at it. I like to start my day every day and spend half an hour with God. And, you know, I use the online Bible from Holy Bible, so Bible.com. And so I'll read a chapter. I've got a reading plan that I follow, and I'll read a chapter a day. You know, currently I'm going through Acts again. And, you know, basically what the whole idea is before I, you know, started using technology and AI, a pastor friend of mine taught me this tool called soaping, you know, so to journal in the Bible, to not just read it, but to apply it to our lives and look for ways for them to go from our head to our heart. So soaping, so it's an acronym. So scripture, observation, application, and prayer, right?
Oh,
so
I love it.
I'm dyslexic. I'm ADHD. My grammar's atrocious and my writing's messy as. So to go through and do this soaping practice and write it out on a journal, like all those limitations used to stop me from doing it. Like I get up in my head and just go, nah, I can't do this.
But and they're done that, yes, absolutely.
AI has unlocked that door for me and helped me to really start applying this spiritual practice now and really get right into it. And just going through, like, I've read the chapters probably 10 different times, but now using AI to help me to explain it in a deeper, more contextual way, you know, using hermeneutics and, you know, those type of things to be able to help me have a deeper understanding. It's like the layers of the onion going deeper and deeper and deeper, which is helping me to be a more effective leader in the online church space. And then, you know, like we've got our, you know, running an online church, it's like we've got to map out, you know, our messages for the whole year. So we've got a through line going. So we're empowering and we're equipping people and we're helping them to become more effective disciples of Christ. So like AI has played an integral part right down to my own spiritual practices with soaping, to help me get, you know, articulate my thoughts in a more coherent way with our prayers.
Yep.
And I know that's how you're using AI as well. So I'd love to just sort of unpack this. What are some of the tips and strategies? Like if someone's listening to this podcast, they're going, right, all skepticism aside now, love to just dive in and really be empowered to use AI as a tool to help me my faith grow and go deeper. What would you recommend? Where would people start and how would they go about that journey?
Well, whatever AI tool they have is probably the right one. So let me begin with that. They don't need a special AI tool. ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, Perplexity, whatever they've got access to.
I still love ChatGPT. I keep coming back to it all the time.
I was just on another podcast about an hour ago, and Jeff, they asked me on that, what one do you use the most? And I said, ChatGPT, hands down. I mean, And part of it is their custom GPTs. I love that I can train it on stuff. So don't worry about buying a specific model or whatever you have is going to be perfectly fine and it's going to be suitable. And then I would really say, follow your heart in what questions are coming up and what things are of interest to you. Like I said, I love to understand context. And so I didn't live in the Roman world, and I love to understand why were these tax collectors hated. And I spent some time after church reading through some things that shared about why they were hated and how the structure was. And to me, while that doesn't directly impact my faith, it provides me context that helps me understand how important it was that Jesus Christ hung out with these people that everyone hated. And, and then to evaluate in my life, and I asked it this question, okay, so Christ hung out with the tax collectors and others like them, prostitutes and you name it. What can I take into my daily activities this week to emulate some of what Christ did? Now, sometimes it comes up with stuff I'm like, nah, that's not me, or nah, I don't think so. And you know what? I don't write off the tool. Jeff, it's no different than if I had asked you that question. You might come up with a couple ideas that didn't resonate with me. It doesn't mean you're wrong. It doesn't mean that you're, it's just we have different perspectives. But it did give me some perspectives on that of things that I could do on a daily basis to help be more welcoming to maybe some of those that are less loved and less liked within our society. And one of the ideas it gave me very, very simply is it said, you know, this week when you go to the market, be open, pray that God would provide someone that you could pray with. Now, it's interesting because that's something I'm very uncomfortable with in public. I've done it and I'm trying to get better at it. But to see someone who I don't know and to walk up and just ask, could I pray with you? Is admittedly something I find uncomfortable. But I've learned that if I let the Holy Spirit guide that, so I'm going to go and I'm going to shop at the market. And if I walk into the store and I say, okay, Lord, if there's somebody in here that I'm supposed to be praying for, I'm just going to ask that you point that out. I'm willing and I'm able and I'm uncomfortable. And I share that. Yeah, I am uncomfortable. But I feel this is important to do based on the Great Commission and how I feel you're causing me to grow. And so this week, when my wife and I go to the store, she'll know going in, because I'll tell her, because she'll then give me space if she feels she needs or whatever, that I'm going to be going through the store, not just looking for what vegetables I want to buy and what things I want to get and my favorite hot sauce, but I'm also going to be literally trying to listen for that nudging of the Holy Spirit to go see that person. And that may be all it is. It may simply be that somebody stands out to me that hasn't before, and I then have to trust that based upon my prayer walking in, I'm going to do that. Now, none of that has anything to do with AI, but AI did give me the idea, and I then reviewed the idea and thought, you know what? This fits into what I'm doing and how to reach maybe somebody else. Certainly, how to get me out of my comfort zone, because what it ended up really doing, it talked about how so often as Christians and individuals, it's not so much about the person, it's our comfort zone. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone. And what's a way for Jonathan to get out of his comfort zone this week? Well, when I walk into the grocery store and I feel that nudging to, first of all, acknowledge that that may be what the Holy Spirit has in mind, not guaranteed. I'm not going there to proselytize and to hit everybody over the head with the Bible. I may walk out and not pray for anybody if the Holy Spirit doesn't lead me, but I may pray for three people if the Holy Spirit, and I'm open to that leading, to that option if it exists.
I've just had a bit of a light bulb moment go off with the way you're describing your use of how you're leveraging AI to be able to support you on your journey. Now, and the question here is I want to ask is because AI doesn't have any emotions, right? Yep. It's not an emotional being. And because you're now, you know, really empowered and leveraging AI to help support you on this journey, and it's a two-way conversation, right? Yeah. Like you're talking to me right now. It's a two-way conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that approach, because you're having a conversation with a technology without any sort of emotions? I've almost called it a being. It's not a being yet.
No, it's not sentient. It's not sentient yet.
But because that, you know, essentially what you're describing is the same sort of conversation that you would have with a mentor, a coach, a pastor, right? That's guiding you on that journey. But you're having the same sort of conversation. But because there's no emotion on the other side of it, because there's no agenda on the other side of it, do you feel that that's helped you on your discipleship walk and help you to become a more effective disciple?
Well, it's availability, if nothing else, to me. So being someone with ADD, my team laughs at me all the time. We just recently discovered this. I was at an event and they had an expert on ADHD speaking, and he talked about how people with ADD have two times, now and not now. And I shared that with my team, and my team started laughing, and they go, "Oh, Jonathan, that is so you. It is now and not now." And if it's not now, it's not now, and not now may never become now. It's just the reality of life. And one of the things that for me is why it's so impactful is when I have that thought, I don't have to take a note and hope I get back to it later. I don't have to wait to talk to my pastor about it. I can, and I often will when it's appropriate, but I don't require my pastor's guidance to give me permission to determine, would it be okay for me to pray with a stranger at the grocery store? I as a believer, can look at that and go, there is nothing that I can find that would cause that to be problematic for my faith. In fact, just the opposite. So I don't need the pastor to go, "Yeah, Jonathan, that'd be okay for you to pray for a stranger." I don't need that. But I may not have come up with the idea had I not been able to dig into, again, and think of the progression here. Sunday morning, talking about a whole bunch of things, but a big part of it was just sharing Christ with others. Tax collector got stuck in my head for whatever reason, probably because in the U.S. we're coming up on tax season. Me looking in and learning, why were tax collectors so hated in the Roman Empire? And then the realization through the discussion I was having, because it is a conversation, but keep in mind, it's more like having a conversation with a commentary versus a person. I know it's not a person, but it has a vast array of knowledge. And out of that conversation came this is really about associating and sharing with people who make you uncomfortable, not just the people that you're comfortable with. So it's not the people, you're not called to share Christ with the people sitting next to you in church on Sunday. They're already there. They're already in church. Now, maybe there's a special circumstance, but we're called to reach the people that aren't in church on Sunday morning, that aren't going there for a particular reason. And sometimes that puts us in uncomfortable scenarios. And as we talked through that, the idea came up with, Jonathan, you, and I've trained my AI on who I am. You believe that prayer is one of the spiritual gifts that you have, and you've admitted you struggle with that. You'd sometimes know. What about, and it had the idea, what about if this week when you're out and about, you ask a stranger to see if you could pray for them?
I love it.
And that progression, it didn't begin there. This was a conversation. It is absolutely my belief that that will positively impact my faith journey. But even more importantly, it may be a seed that the Holy Spirit allows me the privilege of planting in somebody else's life.
I love it.
That, you know, it kind of goes back to my end goal. Somebody asked me, she said, Jonathan, what's your end goal? You're 55. You've got you know, another 15, 20 years of work. What's your end goal? And I said, my end goal is really simple. I want to stand in front of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior in heaven. And I want to hear, and I'm going to tear up. I always do. Well done, good and faithful servant. If I can achieve that, truly, nothing else matters. Right. And so as I'm working through that, with that being kind of my guidepost that I'm looking for, what can I do today to ultimately hear that from my Lord and Savior? Well done, good and faithful servant. I need to be open to doing things that sometimes I may not want to do, because God, I don't see any place in the Bible that God called me to stay in my comfort zone. Now, it may exist. I'm not a theologian. I've read through the Bible a number of times. I am not a trained pastor. Maybe it exists, but I'm not aware of any spot that's ever hit me that I'm instructed to stay within my comfort zone. In fact, I can think of spots where I've been pushed.
It's completely opposite.
Exactly. So therefore, if I want to hear well done and good and faithful servant, then I need to be willing to be pushed out of my comfort zone. And I'll admit, I've asked AI to help do that, help challenge me. You and I both know AI can be really friendly and tell us every idea we've got is brilliant. And, oh, that is amazing. But if we also say, look, your job is to challenge me as iron sharpens iron, and your job is to push me into uncomfortable situations that still are biblically aligned, then it will help do that. It's not telling me what to do. I'm not an automaton that's going, oh, I have to do it. Told me that. So I'm going to, no. But it's like having our conversation today and all of a sudden going, you know, I had a great conversation with Jeff and a light bulb went off, just like you said. And I've got an idea. And if AI can help do that, then for me, I'm not saying for anybody else, it's a great tool.
Yeah. I look at everything, and here's the key word, discernment again. And if I can look at everything that if it's a tool or a conversation or a person or a book or whatever, and it helps me bring me closer to God, then great. Let's go.
Yeah.
But if it becomes if it's a bridge between me and God, or if it, like, mm-hmm. you know, positioning myself as an online pastor and all that sort of thing, my responsibility is to be a bridge to take people closer to God. But if I become a block, or if the tool becomes a block or a wall, then that's where I'm probably falling short of the responsibility. Absolutely. And so I look at, you know, at everything through that lens. And essentially, that's a good, like,
one.
Yeah, no, and looking at everything too, leadership is influence and influence is leadership, right? And, you know, John Maxwell, 21 Laws of Leadership, that's essentially one of the irrefutable laws of leadership. And, you know, I've been looking at, you know, applying all of these, the great wisdom from all of these, you know, these great legends like John Maxwell and all of that sort of thing to help me to become a better speaker, a better trainer. And, you know, if you look at Discipleship 101, it's to help people become fishers of men. And to help them to fish for themselves, not to rely on other men to fish for them. You know, what is the saying? You feed a man a fish for the night, you'll feed him for a day. You teach him how to fish, you'll feed him for life.
Exactly.
And essentially, I love that's what you're doing and positioning yourself in that space to help be a pioneer in the AI faith space. And I think it is, you know, it's just another tool, but it's the same conversations that have been happening for thousands of years. It's just we now have a tool to help us to bring us closer to God, I reckon, as a bridge and amplify that journey. And for some of us, speed that journey up, because clarity brings in a deeper understanding, and it goes through that, you know, informed to understanding to, you know, how it all works, to understanding why it all works. And that's where we all want to sort of get to, right, is that deep why stuff. You know,
absolutely.
Theologians and philosophical people have been questioning the, you know, that life of purpose all the time, right? So,
no doubt.
Man, I love this. I could talk about this all day long.
Well, we need to do this again.
We do. I think we need a part two for this. But I just want to wrap up. So, talking about leadership, talking about essentially discipleship. What opportunities do you see for faith-based leaders, pastors, creatives like you and I to use AI to amplify their message while keeping Christ at the center? I suppose, you know, if you had the opportunity to leave with our audience that one thing, that one takeaway, that one piece to help them to go become more effective in their walk and discipleship, what would that be?
Boy, that is a difficult question, believe it or not. I think, you know, if we're talking about anyone, a person of faith who wants to deepen it, is I would literally go back and say, what is one thing that you could do today, one part of your faith journey that you feel you're struggling with? And for many of us, that may mean first we have to figure out what we're struggling with. But be curious and try one new thing today. Whether that's helping you with a prayer, whether that's giving you an idea of how you can be more Christ-like. If you're not sure, you know what? Just go and put the following prompt into any AI tool. I'm a Christian and I'd like to be more Christ-like. Could you give me 5 ideas of things I could do in my daily life to be more Christ-like? Brilliant. Just put that in and be open that maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit may speak to you through that, because, of course, God controls everything, and maybe you'll be touched. And if you're not, don't give up on it. Then try it again. It's not a replacement, but except, as we talked about, it's not a replacement for ministry. It's not a replacement for pastors or missionaries or anybody else. It is a tool, much like a concordance or a commentary or a Bible dictionary.
Love that. Jonathan, wow. Thank you. That was definitely a good note to end on. So if this has been a refreshing, truth-filled conversation for you, I'd love to know, you know, what are your thoughts on it? Like, leave us a comment below. You'll find us on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple. And Jonathan, where can people connect with you to plug into your conversations, to your community, to your influence? You know, how can they connect with you?
Real simply, they just need to go to jonathanmast.com. That's MAST/Linktree. So my name, Jonathan Mast, and again, /Linktree. Tons of free resources, a few that are paid, but many ways to reach out and connect with me.
You're definitely an aspirational leader. I thank you for everything that you bring to the table. I loved have getting to know you over this last 12 months and you know, been in the same circle of influence in a way. And, you know, you've been a mentor from me from afar, and I've learned so much when it comes to the AI space. I appreciate everything that you bring to the table.
Well, Jeff, I can see the same thing. You know, it's iron sharpens iron, and you have taught me things as well and been an inspiration on the same token. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, guys, this episode has been brought to you by our online church, Today's Discipleship Community. We have a faith-based community of seekers, new believers, and anyone really who's wanting to grow in their walk with Jesus. We do things a little bit different. Essentially, it's online group discussion, just like Jonathan was talking about, iron sharpens iron. So we host Bible studies. We'd even do virtual baptisms. I know that's a bit different, right? But it's more about the real, the raw, the vulnerable discussions about faith and life and getting into it and having that safe space to be able to question, to be able to doubt, to be able to find Jesus's truth, to be able to expand your life and help you to live a life full of purpose. Hey, if you're curious about looking for an authentic tribe, come check us out. We're on Facebook. We're going to be starting a website soon. But the best place to come to is just come chat to me and we can explore to see if it's a good fit together. You'll find all the links on the show notes below. And let's go grow together in grace or truth. Jonathan, before we wrap up, mate, it wouldn't be a Laptop Lifestyle Dads episode if we didn't wrap up with a dad joke. And I've been exploring here with AI a little bit to help me to come up with some unique ones. And this is what Chaddy's come up with us today. So, Jonathan, why didn't the AI go to Sunday school?
Well, I've been terrible with these jokes. I have no idea.
Well, because it keeps skipping the Old Testament updates.
I like it. That's good.
Well, legends, as always, stay caffeinated, stay legendary, and never forget to share this with your audience to be able to get this word out there, to be able to serve and make it, you know, an impact on their lives. Hey, you don't need to be perfect to lead. You just need to be real, grounded, and willing to grow. Hey, this is Jeff Ross and Jonathan Maas signing off for the Laptop Lifestyle Dad Show. Catch you on the next episode.